Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. Today is going to be the Ben Show. I'm not going to lie. We're going to talk SEO, and I could talk all day long. I will try to find some room to let John speak here. He's going to take a nap while we're at it. But I want to get 3 points across on product page SEO because, honestly, it's something that you just need to do the work and then honestly kind of fuck it off because it doesn't matter. The truth is you're never going to rank a product page. And I don't want to say never. There'll be an exception. I have ranked some in my day. But the idea that you're going to rank above the brand, potentially above Amazon, potentially above some of the other big box stores that may carry some of these products, it's difficult, even if you do the right thing. But if you can simply get the product pages to satisfy all of Google's needs and then focus all of your effort on the product page on the customer after that, the rest of your site will flourish if you can get that done. So if you think about, like, I think the example we used at the live event was, someone had 1,000 pages on their site. 940 of those are products. And so if the bulk of your website isn't optimized appropriately for Google, if Google can't come to your site and see what your product pages are about, or if they're trying to attack too many different keywords, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So my goal today is to teach you 3 things. One keyword, one page, and I'll explain what that means. 2, it doesn't matter. You're never going to rank these anyway. And 3, you still have to do them all. You have to get the work done because it does matter for your overall site ability to rank for keywords. You have any questions on those 3 things, John, or should I just dive right in? I'm trying to give John little windows here to pop in.
No, I think it's probably a good, I think if you can get people's head around that, the third point, like the doing the work point, and why that's important. So like how that impacts your kind of overall SEO strategy. I think your buckets of water or your glasses of water thing is a good analogy for that. This is that and the one keyword, one page thing, or just what keyword your product page should be focused around is where I see a lot of people getting this wrong, for sure. And like, so... Yeah. Once again, if you go away with an understanding of this and you can accept it and then practice it, then you've built the platform for a really solid SEO strategy.
I can often be short and I talk really fast. So if you miss something in here, and I'm counting on John to slow me down when I need to slow down. In fact, some of the advice we got at the event was I have to put John on 2X and I can't put Ben on 2X. So that's very interesting feedback that we got. Just for reference, I listened to our podcast back on 3X, so I am a nutcase officially. All right, let's get started. Product page SEO. One keyword, one page. This is the first point I want to get across. Too often, I see people try to combine keywords or get a page to rank for multiple keywords. I'll give you an example. You might make a collection page of e-bikes. And so realistically, the thing that you should rank that collection page for is e-bikes or e-bikes for sale or e-bikes for use case might be a collection page. And again, I'm letting Google tell me what it wants. I go search it. Do I get a product page? Do I get a collection page? That's what I'm giving it. Do I get a listicle? That's what I'm giving it. So too often you'll see someone write a collection page that's like e-bikes for sale and their second headline, their H2 will be best e-bikes of 2024. And those are 2 separate keywords. If you go to Google and search them, you get 2 different results. So how does this show up on a product page is that people want to put the product name, which in the US, almost every product you sell has a name of the product. And they also want to put a bunch of descriptors on the end. So, you know, I'll use the that same product we used on a recent episode, the Austin Air Purifier Bedroom Machine. You might put a bunch of descriptors on like removes allergies or removes dust and mold and blah, blah. Like you might put all of this stuff in there. And I don't think that's necessary. If someone is looking for the better machine, that should be the keyword that you want to show up for. So that is likely going to be the only keyword the page will rank for. Now, when I say one keyword, one page, there are some variations inside of the keywords. So I often reference my glucosamine for cats product. Glucosamine for cats and cat glucosamine are the same keyword. If you go to Google and search either one, you get the same results. That's one keyword. Now, again, that breaks the rule. You think it might be one phrase. I'm telling you there's sometimes up to 10 different phrases that are all the same phrase in Google's eyes. And I'm doing that by searching it. So if we use the Austin Air purifiers, better machine air purifier, that's a very long sentence. That likely is the title. That is likely the most searched version of that same keyword. But if you just search better machine, it shows the same results. Google knows people are searching for that. If you search Austin Air better machine, if you search Austin better machine, if you search better machine Austin Air, all of those are the same keyword. So your job is to find the highest search volume keyword for the product name itself. And that's your H1. The second highest volume search term is going to be in your H2. I encourage you to phrase that as a question, something to draw people into your page. Don't just put the same thing as your title. Don't put a reverse order of your title. Draw people in if you can. Like, get better sleep with the better machine from Austin Air Purifiers or something like that. The other variations that you found are going to likely be sprinkled in your H3s, are going to likely be sprinkled in your image file names, in your alt tags, throughout the page. If you don't have enough heading tags, you can sprinkle them throughout your body copy. Your goal is to give an entire view to Google that this page is all about this one keyword, which again is like 8 variations, 10 variations of the keyword. So when I say one keyword, one page, that's what I mean. So you should find the variations. I'm going to be honest, you're going to need to teach your VA how to do this, because your VA won't know how to do this either, right? You may have to go do this in the beginning, and you're going to do it in the Google search bar. You're just going to type in what you think the variations might be, and hopefully Google spits out some other variations for you in the process. And you might also not discover some of these until you run Google Shopping Ads and you see all the shit people actually search. And then you'll go, oh, I never thought of phrasing it that way. You'll go look it up in your tool and you'll see, oh, there's volume there. I need to use this keyword. But all you're going to do is sprinkle those throughout your page. So I like to do it again. Highest search volume is your title. Second highest search volume is in your H2. Third, fourth, fifth is in your H3s. And then you're going to sprinkle those into the image file names for your images while describing the photo, into your alt tags for the images while describing your photo. And likely throughout that process, you've given Google enough context that this is what this product page is about.
Okay. Now I want everybody to scroll this episode back about a minute and listen to that again. Listen to it again. Not the same image alt tags on everything. Yeah. Change your image file name. Like, these are very, it sounds like really tiny little things, but you've got to do it. And these are things that I see a lot of people not doing.
Yeah, for sure.
There are apps that will tell you they're going to help you to do these things. They never do it properly. Right? So listen to that again, just to make sure it's sunk in, and then go and do it.
Are you enjoying the show? Are you getting loads of value? That's amazing. If you can do John and I one quick favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, leave a review. All of these things help us to reach more people, change more lives. And it's one small thing we ask of you. So again, hit that subscribe button, hit the follow button if you're on a podcast player, and leave a review if you're on iTunes or if you're on Spotify. We appreciate it very, very much. Yeah, don't use an image crusher. Crush your own images. Like, you're going to have to take the image back out to rename it, right? Again, let's imagine it's Austin Air Purifier, Better Machine Air Purifier. Let's imagine that's the title. Your main image, when you should pull it out, you should rename it Austin Air Purifier, Better Machine Air Purifier in black, front view, something like that. Pull it into compressjpeg.com, compress it, put it back up in a Shopify, now alt tag it just like that. If you could describe the photo while using a keyword, that's what you should do. You have to describe the photo. I cannot stress this enough. You have to describe the photo in your alt text. I would encourage you to do this in your file name as well. And both of those can be the same. And to John's point, there are apps out there that will crush the image for you. They will alt tag your images for you. All they're doing is using your title for every photo. And I actually got pushback on this at our event. They were like, well, that's better than nothing, right? That's where I should start. No, I would encourage you not to do anything. because you're not, you're doing the same thing. In fact, you're penalizing yourself by doing the same. So take the time to install this into your upload process. When VAs are helping you upload products, when you're uploading products, when your team is doing them, this should just be part of your process. If you're in Dropship Breakthrough, there is a checklist in the course as we're recording this. There will be a different version of this, a spreadsheet in the course when the new SEO section is in there, which I believe this comes out in February. We're recording this early if you can't tell. That'll be in there. And so just walk through this process. Is this done? And so that's your keyword process. Don't use apps for that process if possible. Throughout that checklist is, did you put images in your description? You should definitely put images in your description. Even if it's the same one you used up top, put them in there. Change the file name, change the alt tag, compress them. Did you put YouTube videos in your description? You should lazy load them the way we teach in Dropship Breakthrough. Leighton Taylor has put an entire module in the course on how to do technical SEO correctly on the Superstore theme. Follow that. If you're not on that theme and you're in the course, show the developer that. They'll be able to go figure that out in your theme. There are other ways to do this. I would encourage you to do it in a manual process. Don't use an app for this if possible. Lazy load your YouTube video. That'll speed up your site. Likely when you're doing keyword research for a product, you will find that reviews, product name reviews, is a supporting keyword. If you're not going to build out a whole page for this, which maybe you will do for some of your bestsellers, the easiest way to hit this keyword on your page, again, support the page, is to change your judge me, your stamp.io, your widget title name. So it normally starts with customer reviews. You can put in, judge me has this built in. I got it built in. You're welcome. Stamp.io has this built in. I got that built in. You're welcome. Both of these have this in there. Just change it to the alternate title, product title reviews. And that'll put in your product title and reviews, which is likely a supporting keyword. Another place for a supporting keyword is manuals. It's often, again, if you're using Keywords Everywhere Chrome extension, which you should be if you've been listening to this, you'll see that in there as well. You should put a manual on your page. You should grab a generic PDF image, pull it out of Shopify, name it product name manual.jpg, compress the image, put it into your files, pull it into the product page, alt tag it, product name manual PDF, and then link to it. And don't use a headline as a link there. That's another rule on these pages. No headline should ever be a link. Write out a little body copy. Are you looking for the product name manual with a link to that PDF? Make the image link to that PDF. Just, again, a lot of little small things that you should be doing on your product page. And that's it. So I don't want to spend too much time here. You got the one keyword, one page, and the little things you should be doing. On to point number two, you'll likely never rank these. So unless you have a very generic name or 10,000-pound winch, I've seen someone add on the end, and they rank for 10,000-pound winch. That's great. If you have a little generic descriptor that you're ranking for, cool. Lean into that because it's one of the only times you're ever going to rank a product page. The reality is you'll never rank above the brand. I've done it one time. It didn't really result in that much traffic, if I'm honest with you, even when I did outrank the brand. I've outranked Amazon quite a few times. You can too. But the reality is you're just not going to get a lot of traffic that way. So get over it. That's my advice here is get over the fact that you'll never rank one of these. And three, know that you have to do this. You have to. It is the bulk of your site. So if you go to your site right now, site:yoursite.com, it'll tell me how many pages you have on your site. Again, if you have 1,000, 940 of those are a product page. So I want you to take 1,000 cups and lay them out on your table, imaginary, of course. But there's 1,000 cups on this table now. And I have, whatever, in the beginning, you probably have like a 3DA or something like that. You can use the Moz Chrome extension to see your domain authority as estimated by Moz. You're taking 3 domain authority and pouring it in 1,000 cups. So you already don't have a lot of juice going. You don't have a lot of authority going to these pages. And now when Google does come crawl your site and they see that you've just copied stuff from elsewhere, they're not going to index you, and they're going to just look at you and say, these people aren't doing anything worth remarking. So any new stuff that you do that you really want to rank won't rank. They'll just disrespect you out of the gates. Whereas if you take time to get this right, build it into your processes, and you have the overwhelming bulk of your site is appropriately done for Google's robot, it's unique. Hopefully at this point you've done some unique content. Now, when you go create product A versus product B, brand A versus brand B, I can give you a bunch more examples of keywords you're going to find, you actually have a shot to rank those. And that's what matters. I want to be number one for those product comparisons more than I want to be number one for the product. And I know that sounds counterintuitive because you think you want to be there for the product. But the reality is you want to catch people in their journey from top to bottom. and the product is the very, very, very bottom. And so it's likely that you're not going to get there just by ranking products. So I want to encourage you to take the time to find the one keyword for your page, find the variations and sprinkle them throughout your products. I want you to take the time to just go, I know this isn't going to directly affect me on these pages, but also accept that you have to do the work. You have to do this work. It is hard. It is hard to teach, but you can have this built into your processes and get this done. And then when you get to go create all the fun stuff, which hopefully I've done a good job of showing you how to find, you're immediately number one, or you're immediately number five, where you can be like, oh, I can see a path to number one.
Awesome.
You have any questions on that, sir?
I don't. I think you've obviously done this a few times. I love it when we do episodes about this stuff, SEO, retargeting, email marketing offers, etc., because nobody else talks about this stuff in the high ticket dropshipping space. Mm. I mean, watch the copycats now. But literally nobody else, even more broadly in e-commerce. Like, I mean, I know that there's some people out there in the broader e-commerce world that talk about SEO, but I think, this is the real shit. Like, talking about ads and stuff is nice, but like, I mean, this is cool. And I love that we talk about it.
We go far more in depth in our course.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is the high level. There's a lot of examples in there walking you through the whole process. And we often get asked, can we just buy your SEO section? You need the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is one big chunk of a bunch of big stuff you can do in your business. So if this is you, if this is calling out to you, head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. Someone on our team can walk you through what else is in there so that you can realize you need all of this stuff. And it's weird to think that no one's teaching this and I'm one of the only people actually teaching this. It's a very weird feeling, but I've gotten really good at it. And I want to be able to teach all of our students how to be really good at it too, because it is the biggest lever that you'll pull in your business. And if you can combine the SEO with the offer stuff that you teach, with the remarketing stuff that we teach, all of this stuff paints one giant picture that can really explode your business.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.